Welcome back to Head Game Period with Bob Lee. Bob, what's coming up on Outside the Lines?
Well, Sunday morning at 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 a.m. Pacific time, I think a very important program. We're going to look at the proliferation of guns being carried by professional athletes. And some of the, there's no hard and fast numbers, but some of the estimates range into the 80th and 90th percentile of the number of people in the NFL or the NBA guys carrying guns. And you will see and hear some amazing opinions and some examples and see people using their legally licensed weapons. We're not going to see any illegally unlicensed weapons, but it will, I think, be an eye-opener. I think it's one of our more important stories, so that'll be Sunday morning.
Wow. Well, I thought we'd introduce Fred Eng. I know that Fred has been on your show before talking about youth sports, and with the increased and the concentration of focus, the passion of parents that want their kids to become the next Michael Jordan or LaDainian Tomlinson, it's become even more important. And Dr. Andrew Jacobs has been on ESPN in a number of ways as well. Guys, both of you, thank you for joining us.
Good to be here, Nick, as always.
Where's the famous voice of Fred Eng? Sounds like Fred isn't there yet. Well,
he clicked me in there, Nick.
Wake up, Fred. Here we go. Hey, listen, guys, before we get to youth sports, we got to let Bob go in a couple minutes. I wanted to ask your opinion about racism in sports. Larry Johnson, a very thoughtful, very unusually vulnerable individual, considering how powerful a runner he is, made some comments that Dick Vermeil, probably the greatest player's coach I've ever met, was not able to impact him because, essentially, it sounded like, because he was white, whereas Herman Edwards, coming back from the same cultural background. Of course, Herman is a wonderful coach and a particularly accessible human being and a positive, upbeat person. But here's Jarrett Bell, briefly, from yesterday's show. Jarrett's from USA Today, talking about when athletes breach that interesting subject of race.
If he keeps running for like 150 yards a game, I think they'll love him. And if he all of a sudden goes into the tank, people will have more reasons to criticize. I think that's usually what it comes down to. You know, the interesting thing about sports and when you talk about race and society and things like that, a lot of times the performance supersedes a lot of the differences, and it can actually bring people closer together.
That's Jarrett Bell. Bob, before we let you go, your final comments about race and how we can teach kids of essentially the true meritocracy in sports. Isn't it the best place to learn about getting along no matter where we come from?
Well, you know, it really is. And you see that in business. You see that in the U.S. Army, the armed forces being a great meritocracy. But it's proven vividly in sports, and we see it every day. And we also see it bubbling just below the surface as an issue in the hiring today of Randy Shannon and some of the comments, even jocular comments that Michael Irvin made a couple of weeks ago on ESPN Radio about Tony Romo and just the sensitivities that exist there. I think the most important thing is an honest dialogue. Put it on the table and then put it to the sideline and play the darn game.
Okay, final question, and Dr. Jacobs, we're going to give you first crack at this one, which is how do we create a system in youth sports that is the least subjective, the least biased in terms of choosing teams? We hear too often that coaches will, you know, make sure that their son's a starter and cut somebody that often is far more talented.
Well, I think you need to set up guidelines, Nick, before the season starts, and you know, at the high school level, unfortunately, and I just heard this story the other day about a young man who tried it for a team. Everybody said he was the best in the practices. They had three practices before the during the tryouts. All the kids who tried out said this kid was the best kid there, and he didn't make the team. And his parents spoke to me, and they were dumbfounded. And I said, well, I think what you've got to do is talk to the coach. But I would actually have your son talk to the coach, really, and he's the one that needs to get the answers. There need to be some specific guidelines, I think, set up for these kids, because you know what? It comes down to a coach's discretion, and some coaches do it, you know, in a fair way. Some coaches don't do it in a fair way. There's always going to be somebody hurt if you don't make a team. And unfortunately for kids at the high school level, that can be the last opportunity for them to really play in some kind of an organized sport because the youth leagues are done by then. I think there needs to be some kind of a better system set up so kids feel that they're, you know, they're fairly treated. No one's going to feel they've been treated fairly if they got cut. But as long as the guidelines are set out in advance, I think it makes it better.
Fred, you find kids that are scarred for life going through this sort of situation. It, to me, it's almost an impossible thing to correct. What answers do you have at the National Alliance?
Well, the thing is we all have to recognize that before the age of, let's say, 13, before kids get in middle school, you know, being cut from a team is one of the most ridiculous things that you can do to a child. You know, it destroys their self-esteem, their self-worth, everything about it. They don't understand, why can't I play? So that's very important. After that, that's a different story about being cut from a team, but it's a very complex, diverse situation.
Bob, before we let you go, by the way, everybody, you should tune for Sunday's show, Outside the Lines, on the proliferation of guns, not just in the state of Texas, where I think 15 years ago there were 48 million guns in Texas alone. Now that W's going back there, I'm sure there'll be even more, and Dick Cheney as well. But, Bob, final comments for you about this subject. When you do stories on U Sports, do you see an increasing caliber and quality of coaching, or is it going downhill?
I think you see people with great intentions. I think the great challenge, especially at outside the varsity level, when you have a proliferation of so-called AAU teams and youth teams and travel teams, I mean, and especially in areas that are more affluent, the travel team is attracting the most specialized and more elite athletes because they can play outside the scholastic calendar. And these are not necessarily classically trained coaches. There's the challenge there. And there's another element in play here, Nick, and you can understand this having gone to an Ivy League school, just the expense of college. I'm sure all four of us have kids that are either at or in college or near that age. If that contributes, I think, to the parental pressure of getting your kid ahead, not necessarily making it to the NBA or the NFL or Major League Baseball, but if you can get yourself part of a Division I scholarship, you're saving mom and dad a lot of money, and I think we start to see that entering into this equation too.
Well, thanks for joining us. As always, you're a true pro, my friend, and we'll be watching you on Outside the Lines.
And I'll see you at 3:30 Eastern today. As I said, we're looking at the John Lennon anniversary on Monday Night Football.
That's right. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bob Lee from ESPN's Outside the Lines, a real pro. And let's continue this discussion with Fred. What are some of the answers for people that are part of a league that just is disorganized, that doesn't have good leadership, that has people in place that are not properly trained? How do you turn it around?
Well, you know, the main thing is that everybody has to look at the fact that these are kids. Nick and Andy understands all that. You know, that, as I mentioned earlier, the point is that you're a kid, that you're 9 years old, you find out that you're cut from a team. Well, anybody who's gone through that experience realizes what a horror that is in their life. And that's why when you have team sports and individual sports, it is a completely different situation. You take a team sport and you have kids lined up, and all of a sudden it becomes very objective. It's because my son's out there and I'm coaching, and therefore I'm going to make sure that Billy plays. That's how the selection is made. The selection, the sport that I was in, which was wrestling, there wasn't any question about it. When it came to Wednesday or Thursday, I knew that I was in that lineup. Why? Because I beat everybody out in that division and made it so that it was fair that I got the chance to be starting on Saturday. And that's the way that's the difference, especially for kids. But the other issue that I think Andy can address is the psychological impact.
Are you there, Andy?
Yeah, I'm just...
What kind of damage are we talking about? Because I know kids that have never, ever gotten over this. They worked really hard in the summer. They made sacrifices. They quit a job to make sure that they had time. They missed several vacations. They broke up a relationship. They try out for the team. They're clearly better than several other players on the team, and they're cut. What can be done for that, and what's the kind of damage psychologically?
Well, can have long-term psychological damage in terms of self-confidence and self-esteem issues. But let me throw this question back onto you. You were cut 11 times by 8 teams. Now, granted, you were an adult, you were a professional, you graduated from Dartmouth, which is an Ivy League school, as we all know. But you were cut 11 times. You were told you're not good enough 11 times, 3 times by the same team. How did you, Nick Lowry, make it in the NFL? And when you quit kicking, had kicked more field goals than anybody in the history of the game, and were the most accurate kicker in the history of the game. What did you do to make it through?
Well, I love the way you put that question. You know, I think certainly a predisposition to understand that one has a sense of destiny, that to believe that one is supposed to do something important, and then having parents that believe in you, those are things that are fundamental to one's sense of confidence as well. So, you know, I was lucky to have those things. And then most importantly with coaching, I had a mentor in Dick Johnson who kept saying to me and hammered into me over and over and over again that persistence is king, that getting back up when you're down is what it's all about. And that to me, let's face it, Fred, that is the most important. We teach kids only that lesson. Aren't we really succeeding?
Well, absolutely. You know, in the irony of this whole thing is I'm going to switch gears to something else. I think that what I mentioned before is when you get in middle school and high school, now being cut from a team kind of almost defines who are you. You know, somebody would say, are you a man or you're not? And is this going to make you a man and make you develop into something different? And I believe it does. I think that when you get to an age that you are expected to try harder and do everything that you can to achieve, later on in life, if you got cut, I can tell you lots and lots of people that said, I'll show you.
Unfortunately, there are some that say it's not worth the effort. I'm going to forget about sports. We're going to talk about this, about coaches that cut players that deserve to be on teams, parents that complain, sometimes appropriately, sometimes when really their kids should have been cut from the team. We're going to talk about the subjectivity of coaching and how important it is to have a process to select teams that is fair for everyone involved. Can it be done? We'll be right back with Dr. Andrew Jacobs and Fred Eng for the National Alliance for U Sports on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122.